Blog Talk Radio.
Nightmare.
It's Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you're listening to the U with your host, Benjir Satanis, and the Beast.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Beast Zeno, and this is my co-host, Benjir Satanis. Benjir, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing excellent. How are you doing?
I'm doing as well as can be expected. Today's hopefully going to be a real busy show, so, we've already got our special guest, Satanic International, on the line. How you doing today, man?
Good, guys. How you doing? I'm doing all right.
Good. Again, not bad. So we decided to invite you out, I guess, mainly because you've got one of those personalities that everybody seems to like, and... You also got a real interesting spin on everything, so I thought it'd be cool to, take an hour and get to know you.
Right on, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, B-Zeno, was seeing you on YouTube first. I think that's how he got acquainted with you and your stuff. And then he showed me, so I assume you've been on YouTube for a while, or that's like you've been into that whole YouTube making video thing. I mean, that's kind of your thing or your stick that you've been doing for a while?
Yeah, that's just kind of my hobby, It's kind of what I do for fun in my off time. But I've been on YouTube for a couple of years, but I have a hard time keeping my channels up so people flag them down. So this last channel, Satanic International Network, has been up for about a year.
Okay, right on.
Yeah.
I can tell that you've been doing it for a while, because I think anyone that just starts out, even if they're naturally inclined for that kind of thing, making videos, talking into the camera, they suck, when they first start out. But after you've been doing it a couple dozen times, it gets easier, it gets better, you get more comfortable. The camera seems to like you more. And I could tell you've been doing it for a while because, it seems pretty good and professional. So.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I've probably made over 1,000 videos, and my first ones kind of sucked, and so I removed them, but... It took me a while to figure it out, and then I was actually on YouTube for about a year, and I didn't make any videos. I just kind of watched, and
Sure.
But yeah, with that particular channel, Satanic International Network, I just wanted to create a channel, kind of like a hub for other Satanists and other left-hand path people, so they can meet and network and stuff like that. I haven't really came across one like that on YouTube yet, so that's kind of the goal of it.
Yeah, and cool. With that, that's a good focus.
Yeah, I like your guys' channel, too.
You start now, so... Go ahead, Ben.
That's true. Zeno, his channel is in the infancy stage, right?
Waiting for it to flower.
Yeah, that might never happen.
Well, I don't think it'll die on the vine, but you need some subscribers, and I don't know. I don't know if how much that actually helps. I mean, I guess it does help to have a lot of subscribers and a lot of friends on YouTube. I can't really tell if I get that many more hits now than a year ago when I had half the number of friends or subscribers that I do now. Maybe it helps a little. I can't tell.
What I like most about the YouTube channel stuff is I like all my contacts and all the friends and stuff. I'm not really that concerned about the subscribers, but, I've met a lot of people here in California. Like the Dark Fool, he's from L.A., Son Eject from San Francisco, a couple people up in my area.
Cool. And your area is?
Sacramento.
Oh, okay. Sacramento.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, I'm actually from Phoenix, but I moved up here about 4 months ago.
Cool.
Yeah. What state do you guys live in?
Bucino lives in Florida.
Yeah.
And I live in the great state of Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Remember that.
Way far away from the hub of activity and action and awesomeness. In fact, I was just watching Star Wars last night, and what Luke was saying, that if there's a bright center of the universe, you know, you're on the rock that it's farthest from. So I kind of feel like that sometimes, being all the way here in the Midwest, where, you know, it's not all rural and cows and cheese, but, you know, it's not like California or New York or even like Florida. It's pretty remote.
How's the economy out there? Shitty?
Sorry. Actually, it's not that bad. It's kind of insulated, I think, from a lot of other things. It's kind of, you know, it's so secluded and remote in a way from the rest of the United States, like the really hot places where there's a lot of, you know, hustle and bustle and traffic and money changing hands and things going, that when those kind of places really go into the shitter, Wisconsin is kind of okay, but it doesn't really, the opposite is true too. When like places like California and New York and things like that are booming, you know, Wisconsin doesn't really feel it that either. So it's kind of in the middle. I mean, we have Chicago, which is like three and a half hours away. But I don't know. That's a whole different state. So.
Right on.
Yeah. But anyway, so let me get your take on Satanism, I guess. Like, what's your... I don't know if you want to give me a definition, but what's your brand of Satanism, or what kind of things about the satanic religion or philosophy do you want to start talking about?
Well, let's see. I don't know. I used to consider myself like a Levian Satanist.
Right.
I'm a member of the Church of Satan. I have been since 94. But as I got a little older, I just kind of seemed a little bit too confined. I didn't really like some of the Levian concepts, like in the satanic sins and 11 satanic rules of the earth, a little too dogmatic for me. So I just kind of, because I take what I like from LaVey and other people, and take what I like and I discard the rest. I just kind of consider myself more of like a modern Satanist or a self-styled Satanist.
Okay. Are you familiar with chaos magic and things like that?
Vaguely, not really, though. I really never got into the
whole
rituals that much, but, you know.
Right.
I know a little bit about it, but...
You kind of fit into the whole chaotic, you know, chaos magic sort of paradigm where you take what you like, what's useful to you, and you just kind of leave the rest and form your own, you know, your own model of the universe, your own paradigm, your own belief system and way of operating.
Right.
So that's very cool. I mean, it's very postmodern. I think a lot of left-hand path people... black magician, Satanist, cultist, whatever. I think a lot more people are going in that direction, where it's very individualized. You know, you do your own thing, how you want to do it, and you know, if you meet people along the way that are into that, and that you can learn something from or take stuff from, give stuff back, great. You know, if not, you're happy working on your own. Does that sound familiar? Is that kind of what you do?
Yeah, that's kind of the direction that, you know, I'm heading personally. And I think a lot of people are now, especially with the internet, you know, a lot of people, a lot of satanic organizations are kind of falling by the wayside, including the Church of Satan. There's really no need to join any organization anymore with the internet. I mean, if you want to network and meet other Satanists, you know, you can go to YouTube and meet 1,000 of them on my friends list, you know, and you go join the Church of Satan, you know, you spend your $200, you might meet one or two.
Right.
In person, a lot of those guys are assholes anyway. Pompous and arrogant.
Well,
some of them I've come across.
Yeah. And I think we have another caller. Is that right?
Hello? Are you on the...
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
Hey,
what's going on, guys? Dark Fool here.
What's up, man?
Cool.
Not much, man. Not much. I didn't want to call in right away, and I just wanted to see what direction the show was going in. Pretty good so far.
Cool. What's your take on Zach and Satanism and things like that, as long as we got you here?
Catching up to speed, man. First of all, I'll get back to the chaos magic. I really like where you were going with that. I think that Zach has a good idea with the whole Satanic International and, putting people's, like, locations so that people can network and, Satanism can get a little tighter, you know what I mean? I'm a big fan of networking. That's one of the reasons why I was, hold on, I got a helicopter flying overhead. All right, sorry about that. That's one of the reasons why... I was going, back and forth with Jason King on the whole, satanic organization bit, is that I do believe that there is a definite need within Satanism to network.
Right. So you think that organizational systems are breaking down and individual collectives or networks are sort of rising?
Definitely. Absolutely, yeah. It's more individual based these days. That is for sure. But one of the things I was arguing with Jason about was that there's strength in numbers, and it's like you've got these organizations, Right Hand Path, whatever you want to call them, organizations, rising up and kind of being counterproductive to society. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. Sometimes Beastino and I, we talk about the fat to muscle ratio in an organism or an organization, and
that's a very good way of putting it.
With the Cthulhu cult, what we try to do is cut down the fat and increase the muscle, or the individuals that are actually really working at something and being productive, and the ones that are just kind of sitting there and taking up space, we kind of want to let those people slide away and cut out the fat. However,
stratification, so to speak.
Yeah, it's not healthy to go at like 1-2% body fat. You can't really live that way. So you gotta You gotta find maybe a happy medium. But I really think the right hand path is, that's where the fat is, and the left hand path just needs to lean it out and go on a diet,
yeah.
I guess, and just shake loose
very good way of putting it. I actually had this conversation with Jason, shortly after we went back and forth on our videos, and he talked about it kind of being like a symbiotic relationship, left hand path and right hand path.
Oh, okay.
They
eat each other, or they feed off each other, or
not necessarily that one cannot exist without the other, but that they both have a place and a purpose within the totality. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Kind of like what you're saying. Exactly like within the context of what you're saying, like a body fat and muscle. It's a very good analogy for it.
Right. It reminds me again of Star Wars, because you got, the Jedi, the good side of the Force, and you have the Sith, the dark side, and, it'd be nice to know that, some sort of balance could be maintained, but it's a very dualistic process and thinking, and sometimes I wonder if it isn't better to just move beyond, the dualism and move beyond good and evil and right and wrong.
Good and evil, right and wrong are subjected to, who's defining it.
That's true.
Now,
I have a quick question for Matt.
Oh, go for it.
Matt, now, you consider yourself a theistic Satanist, correct?
Theistic, yes.
Okay, so does that mean you actually believe in a deity?
I believe, it's like this. The reason why I chose theism is like this. Okay, there are theories about overlapping dimensions on top of this. Like, we exist on the third dimension. And so... what I believe is that there are deities, like a,
you know, not one specific one that created the world, so to speak, but like just like deities that exist on other dimensions, kind of like how we exist. We're a huge population that exists on the third.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, that's my take on it.
Mm-hmm. I would change that up a little bit and then agree with you. We exist not just on the third dimension, but we exist on a parallel across of at least six dimensions. If you figure the three dimensions are the space that we occupy ourselves and in the entirety as an individual, the fourth dimension can be defined as the space between each of us. The fifth dimension could be defined as something that exists in symbiosis with us, but it's, in my opinion, a separate entity entirely, and that would be more of a spiritual type of dimension or an electric, for lack of better terms. I mean, I wrote a big, long essay on this just 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So...
By the way, that reminds me, I'm actually now just getting into your guys' work. I very much would like to, after I heard that interview that you had with Jason, I started checking out a few more of your shows, and I was like, you guys actually have a really good thing going on here with your videos and your Blog Talk Radio. So I definitely became a fan.
Agreed, I'm definitely very unique.
That's great. Have you been to the cultofcthulhu.net website yet?
Not yet. I'm going to do that today, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, a lot of our stuff is on there. That's kind of like the headquarters of our network, because there you can get to the radio show, you can get to the forum. I really want to get more people on the forum, because I'd like to have discussions like this.
Big time.
I mean, just everything. What else? There's probably like MySpace and stuff. I don't know. So, but yeah, go to the website. There's a lot of stuff. It's just been remodeled, so it looks pretty damn cool.
I would like to give you guys a little bit of a lead introduction as to a little bit of who I am. The reason why I go by this whole Dark Fool theme. Is that you, Zach, the plane?
Yes, it is.
Never fails.
Nope.
Anyway, really quickly, getting back to what I was saying, one of the reasons why I go by, why I have this dark fool theme is that part of it is I could be the fool. I could not know where I'm, you know, I may appear as if I don't know where I'm going, but I really do. Other times I really don't know where I'm going. So, you know what I mean? Am I the fool or am I the trickster? That sort of thing. I kind of switch those roles interchangeably.
What's up with the Joker's hat? Is that like a tarot thing?
As a matter of fact, that's another part of it. That's another part of it. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, so
yeah,
questioning that, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, in fact, I'm going to make a video. I'm going to make quite a few videos. One is the latest introduction ever, but the tarot, the fool being zero, it's actually the beginning and the end of the cycle. So it actually plays like a key role.
Yeah. Who's more the fool? The fool himself or the fool who follows him?
That follows, yes.
Yeah, that's actually, again, it's weird how much that movie, like, I don't know, is influential in my life. That's a quote from Obi-Wan Kenobi from Star Wars.
Exactly. And if you really want to get to the grit, the true grit of Star Wars, I highly recommend you guys check out a book, Hero with a Thousand Faces by Joseph Campbell.
Oh, yeah, I've heard a lot about that.
Yeah, that's the book that inspired George Lucas. Yeah, that's the book that inspired George Lucas to write Star Wars.
Yeah, I've heard that, and also The Golden Bough by Fraser. It's supposed to be like an occult, like a giant multi-volume, like occult tome or something.
Ah, okay. Was that related to The Golden Dawn? Was The Golden Bough related to The Golden Dawn by any chance?
I don't think it is. I mean, it's probably related in an occult, vague, like, magical sense. But no, as far as I know, it's not in league with The Golden Dawn.
Okay, all right.
But Cool. But it has a lot to do with, like, myth cycles and, you know, ancient histories and, you know, larger-than-life icons and archetypes, I think, and things like the Campbell book, Hero with a Thousand Faces. So,
nice.
That's where I've heard that Lucas used both of those, maybe a third volume, as inspiration for Star Wars. So.
Cool.
Of course, that all seed after Episode One. But that's another show. But
I think Star Wars is a very satanic movie. I mean, like, so a lot of the concepts of the Force and stuff, you know, can be interpreted in a magical content too.
Definitely.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the whole midichlorians bullshit, but
yeah.
Oh man. Hey, speaking of which, I was wondering if you guys, what's you guys' take on chaos magic? You mentioned that before.
Bizino, you want to take this one first?
Well, certainly. I guess I need a little bit of refination as far as the question goes. I mean, do I?
Oh,
do I?
Right. Well, I mean, I'm basically giving you. I know it's a loaded question, but what's your opinion of it? Its practical uses. How have you applied it to your life, so to speak?
Okay, my opinion of chaos magic is it's got to be the most superior system. In the fact that you don't have to lie to yourself and tell yourself that, you know, the paradigm that you're working in is true. Rather, you know, you can kind of assume a role and let the actual psychodrama of it work for you. It works in just about everything I do. Most of my take on things is based out of chaos magic, you know. So
very cool.
For me, it works real well. You know, I that's why I'm able to say, you know, I'm neither theistic or atheistic, but something entirely different.
Right. I think that's very important because any system that comes from another group or, you know, some external, you know, belief system or paradigm or entity or whatever, it's going to be arbitrary when it comes to the individual himself. And you got to be careful not to fall into dogma and mechanical systems, and you've got to enter anything you do in a more organic and conscious way. And for each of those things, you gotta find your own way. You gotta kind of forge your own path.
That's one of the things I like about chaos magic is that it's like, you know, these are tools, you know, hammer. It doesn't, you know, you could use it any which way. You don't need to believe a specific way. You know, it's almost like the mythos is the design, you know, the blueprint, and then the chaos magic are like the tools. And you could use these tools any which way you want.
Exactly, because, you know, without taking your own initiative and your own creative step, basically, like, let's say you were building a house. With chaos magic, you have all the tools and the materials to build a house. With another system, like, I don't know, like the Church of Satan or even the Golden Dawn.
Wiccans.
Or Wicca or Christianity or something. Basically, you get 1, 2, 3, like, model houses that are, like, pre-built. And, you know, you really have to fit in the house that maybe not tailor-made for you. It's made for more of a broad audience, for, like, the usual person. You know, if you want a beige house that looks like your neighbor's, then that's fine. But if you want something that's kind of unique and that an architect probably spent time on, you know, honing his skills and making it all cool and tricking it out and tailor making it for the individual, you know.
It's like the house could be, you know, it could be built for the family, or you could pimp it out and make it your pad, you know what I'm saying? You know?
Right.
Your party, your crib.
Yeah.
You guys come up with some damn good analogies, by the way.
Thanks.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm kind of an analogy man. I know not only how useful they are, but it helps me to see things in that kind of way.
Absolutely.
So. Cool. I think we have someone else in here, too.
All right. Well, we're... Okay.
But anyway, go ahead, Beast. Go ahead.
All right. I just wanted to throw in there real quick about chaos magic. You could once again equate it to that same analogy about muscle and fat. You know, the chaos magic, in my opinion, is pure muscle with no fat, unless you need that extra fat there. So,
right.
You can have the working system without the dogma, and that is, in my opinion, very important when you're working at the higher states of consciousness.
But you know what? If we extend that analogy or that metaphor, I think it's useful to have either a personal trainer, at least in the beginning, or to have, you know, some sort of manual or instruction on how to go about
Some sort of plan. Some sort of plan on how to transform yourself.
Right, exactly, because it's all about the transformation. So you want some sort of guidance, some sort of mentoring, and I think that's an important step. You know, you can throw out the prepackaged paradigm of like some sort of arbitrary system that's already in place, but you can't throw out, the necessary instructions. You know, you can build your own house, but don't throw away the blueprints or the architectural plans because, if you're just trying to build a house just with nothing but tools, that's not going to look too good when you're done. You're going to have a leaky roof. Shit's not going to be up to code.
Yeah.
You know, it's just going to be a disaster. You got to find a happy...
Duct tape will solve anything.
Yeah, duct tape, exactly. You got to find a happy medium. You got to find a balance. That's what I think the new wave of Satanism tries to do. I think that's what we do with the Cthulhu cult. That's what chaos magic people do, and hopefully left-hand path people of the future. That's what it's all about. Like throwing out all the rules, but still keeping schematics of what needs to be done when.
Very cool. Very cool. Hey, that leads me to a question, actually. I was wondering if you guys, from your perspective, where do you see left-hand path going in the world today? What direction do you see it going in?
That's a good question.
Now, by direction, do you mean in terms of actual physical manifestations, or are you talking more about which way people are going to go in terms of practice?
Having an influence in the world?
We could tackle both. I meant more towards physical manifestation, like more people being drawn to the internet or, you know, like is it going to be picked up by politicians, whatever, you know, something like that.
That's a really good question.
I can add on this a little bit. Like, basically,
I
think that left-hand path, I think if you look at the new age of things that people are kind of like atheism and stuff like that and other forms of religion that are more left-hand path oriented, people are kind of moving that way. I totally forgot what I was going to say, guys. Go ahead.
Well,
I had a point about
it.
It'll come back
to expand on what, to kind of expand on what Zach was saying, I think the times that we're going through right now, the economic hardships, I think we're kind of at a point like in ancient Greek times, like they went through the mystery cults, where people are just looking for answers, and I think the left hand path is going to really pick up in that area.
Oh, I agree with that entirely. Matter of fact, I'm writing a book right now, and one of the sections of my book is dealing with mastery of the self, and mastery of your realm. And I think that's going to be a very important, very satanic to be in complete control of your entire situation, whether it's your work life, your home life, your spiritual life, even so much as Venger here stepped it up in the Cthulhu cult to kind of give a mandate for physical exercise as well as spiritual and mental exercise. You know, it's all part of that mastery.
I think that with the growth and proliferation of the left-hand path, that people are going to be searching for greater autonomy and personal freedoms. And, you know, which is weird because we're also going in a path of unification and sort of new world order without to sound, without sounding too conspiratorial, like, you know, oh my God, the new world order and the lizard people and, like, you know, the king of France is in league with the Bushes and, you know, not anything like that, but the world is getting smaller.
Talk to Kenny Pruitt.
Yeah, the world is getting smaller and, you know, everything is being pushed into a singularity of, you know, basically, you know, one government, one police force, one religion, one economy. And but the left-hand path, I think, is kind of against that. And people want to do their own thing. You know, people might want to live in Montana, you know, or live somewhere in Texas on their own compound, you know, starting their own cult and just doing their own thing.
That's been a struggle. That's been a struggle ever since. I mean, like almost since the beginning, is individuation versus wholeness.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I think it's a struggle that's necessary, and it's one that is becoming more and more apparent that, you know, those two factions are at war with each other. You know, the farther along history we get. I know I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I got to mention Star Wars again.
Go for it.
And that, in one sense, that is kind of a marriage between the rising left-hand path and the unification of, like, a new world order. Basically, you have the top left-hand path guys in charge running the whole, you know, the whole world, the whole galaxy. And because people in the left-hand path that are really into control and leadership and mastery, you know, they're not going to bow down to, you know, the will of the people.
Right.
And
of course
yet,
not.
You can't.
And yet the will of the people is what they run off of.
Yeah, exactly. And you're not going to have Mad Max kind of like roving nomadic bands of, like, you know, autonomous gangs that are like fighting for oil or something. I mean, you're going to have people coming together. You're going to have a sort of new world order. So I think the only way it can work is for people in the left-hand path to sort of take charge and take control and maybe not necessarily get into politics, but, you know, take on that role of command and leadership and, you know, forging their own way, their own destiny to, you know,
or kind of go behind the scenes and kind of work it from the inside out.
Right. I think in a way you have to, because, you know, the population doesn't want to feel like they're controlled, doesn't want to feel like they don't have much of a choice or that they're being railroaded into a certain path. But at the end of the day, I think most leaders feel like they have to do that.
Yeah.
Some days I feel like people should be in cages, and you know, you can't trust human beings, and it's better to have them, you know, where you can see them and where they can't do any damage. But on the other hand,
I think about that every time I'm on the freeway.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Those are my thoughts. If anyone else has anything to say on the left-hand path or chaos theory, have at it.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be, like, hogging all the questions. Zach, if you have any questions, feel free.
Okay. I'm just listening, guys.
Oh, okay.
A little slow today, so.
One thing I wanted to mention was it left me. Never mind.
contagious.
Yes.
Well,
I
actually want to throw something out there. One of the things that Gurdjieff talked about in when he was, bringing his fourth way over to the West, was he talked about unification through diversity, realizing and accepting the fact that you're your own entity, but you're part of a larger whole. And that's also something I've really been dealing with a lot lately, is the concept of social organisms.
Yes, yes. In fact, I'm going to make a video soon called, Symbiotic Parasitic Relationships Within Satanism, something around those lines. But yeah, it's dealing with exactly that you just stated.
I just think that it's a necessary thing for us to strive towards if we hope to retain our individuality, but at the same time not implode as a social organism.
Yeah, because if you cut off, it's like any kind of, because we're all interconnected in some way, shape, and form. It's like if you cut off too much, you're going to cut off, like you're going to end up accidentally cutting off your food supply or something that's sustaining your life.
Right. Right. So it's a matter of accepting yourself and others as an individual, but at the same time realizing that you have a purpose, you have a reason. And sometimes it's beyond our own understanding what that is.
Would you liken that purpose to the great will, or the great work, as it's called in Aleister Crowley's work and the Golden Dawn?
I would liken it to the great will, yes. Yes. But see, I also, myself, I perceive different elements, different phenomena, much like Jason King. I perceive different phenomena as being representation of deity. There's not only the satanic current, but there's also the Christian current. There's also, so that's, how my paradigm differs from Jason King's. Although I don't think he's necessarily dismissing the other currents. I think that he's content with having chosen what he feels is the strongest current.
Right.
And,
well, that's the strongest one. Like he said, it's like having a boss at work. You know, it's like that's the one we have to deal with because we're the omnivores. You know, we're predators and plant eaters and all that. You know, so we have to deal with a predatory force of nature. And at the same time, there are also other forms of, like we've been talking about, symbiotic relationships, which don't require that predatory force.
Right, right. Now, we keep having a caller call in, someone from the 910 area code. I promise you, if you call back in, I will answer the phone. I'm on the switchboard now.
Okay. I did press the on-air button, but maybe he got tired of not having a chance to talk. I don't know. But really, I think we have enough people. There's a question in the chat room about secret societies. But first, I kind of wanted to go back to what we were saying about the predatory and sort of an adversarial current in opposition. Do you guys think that that the universe has like an intelligent design behind it, and that it's it works in an adversarial fashion against mankind? Because that's kind of what I believe, but I'm interested in other people's theories. And do you think the universe is just kind of there and meaningless and doesn't really have an agenda for us at all? Or maybe you think the universe is actively trying to help us and progress mankind? Let me hear your thoughts.
I kind of see it not necessarily if I I see the way things have become as a process of, natural occurrence. And I think that that same source, if there is a source, can be how should I say, you know, manipulated, and it can manipulate back. It's like a push-pull type of thing. I don't know if it's see, I actually don't know. I don't know if it is conscious or aware or not. I am aware that it can be somewhat grasped and somewhat controlled to a degree.
Mm-hmm. See, I think it's just pretty much chaotic. I think it's just moving forward randomly.
Okay, so there's nothing like intelligent behind it, or if there is, it doesn't have a particular agenda or thing that it wants. It's just kind of maybe it's self-aware, but it just doesn't give a crap about us.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much indifferent. You know, if there is a force that moves things forward, and especially in a magical world, I think it's kind of indifferent. I don't think it's really intelligent design. It's just there. Just my
opinion. I want to throw this out for you guys on this and see what you think about it. But isn't it possible that it just views us like we look at ants? You know, that, you know, it's intelligent, but it has its own, you know, its own ideas that it's following after, and we're just kind of, you know, ants on an anthill.
That's kind of where I was going with it. Yeah.
For those people that know about my shtick, you know, I think that the universe actively tries to prevent people from awakening and halting human evolution, because it uses not only life in general, but especially human beings and the suffering that we cause and that we bring into the world. It uses that for nourishment. Basically, it harvests human beings and human suffering to feed itself, to keep it going. That's my own personal belief.
Like those who wake up and say, hey, we are ants. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, not only are we ants, and in some way, it doesn't care about us. It is indifferent. But it needs us. And it wants to keep us in our place. You know, if we had the chance to really spread our wings and grow, you know, I guess from like a caterpillar to a butterfly or something like that, or a hawk or an eagle, you know, whatever, then we could be free of the universe, and we could actually do something and hurt it and not be its source of nourishment.
I definitely liken the one God current as a... I wouldn't necessarily say that it is that, but it is definitely a part of that.
Right. Would you say the one God current?
Yes.
Okay. Now, do you believe in maybe other deities and whatnot, possibly in a different universe or in different dimensions?
Yes, that's actually how I said, you know, like a... how there's different dimensions, you know, ones that are overlapping, and how there may be specific deities on other dimensions, you know, not specific, excuse me, but other deities on other overlapping dimensions. Yes, I believe that there, that's possible.
Okay, yeah, definitely. I think with what we know about science and religion and philosophy and things like that, I think that's kind of logical to assume that there are other things out there that we're not fully conscious of, that we can't comprehend. You know,
of
it's
course,
not in a straightforward manner, like, course, oh my
right.
God, you know, God's in heaven, and, you know, Jesus came down, and, you know, things like that. It's more complicated. You know, you have to deal with, I don't know, quantum theory and you know, string theory. And
do you guys have any opinions on thought forms, by the way?
Well, I think certain thoughts can... reach beyond the current dimension that we're in, and it can take on shape and substance, you know, beyond just a mere thought. It can become something. You know, you can create an entity, or you can create a paradigm or a model of the universe, or, you know, you can create a belief system. I think belief is reality, and if you believe something strongly enough, I think it has just as much reality to it, just as much substance as, you know, the chair you're sitting on or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, my opinion doesn't differ too much on that, so I'll go with that.
Yeah, the way I see it is I kind of feel like some of these religions that have come out are actually like thought forms that have become self-aware and have kind of taken a role, you know, taken on a life of its own and working its will on this world in a way.
Certainly. Yeah. Have you read the book, The Lucifer Principle?
Yep, have it. Love it.
Okay, so then what you're referring to is the MEM, which...
Yes, the memetics, yeah.
Right, I consider that to be the DNA structure of a social organism.
Ah, okay.
So, same concepts, and I completely concur, and that goes along hand-in-hand with what Avenger was just saying. So...
Yeah. That reminds me. I don't know exactly if it's pronounced mem or meme. I pronounce it meme, but I can't remember if I've ever heard it actually pronounced. I just read it. So
yeah, same. Same.
I don't know. But, you know, there's things like that. There's, you know, the whole gestalt where the sum of is greater than the whole of the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. You know, if a lot of people are tapped into one thing, it, you know, like let's say people are outputting three energy, like energy number three into it. There's three people doing it. Instead of adding up to nine, it could add up to like, I don't know, 50 or something. If three people put all of their belief and all of their will and consciousness into something. And I think that... It's kind of the basis for group magical work.
That's kind of going along with the 93 current with Aleister Crowley.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think a lot of that is valid and on the same wavelength.
I've got to actually I'm going to pause us for a second here, and I'm going to ask Zach a question directly. Zach, what do you think of all this craziness, man?
Oh,
you've been asking what's been on my mind, dude. You just voiced what was on my mind this entire time. He's like the atheist who's or the atheistic Satanist who's but anyways, I'm sorry, I'm hogging the mic. Go ahead, Zach.
Well, you know, I mean, I never really got too deep involved in the magical principles and stuff like that. You know, I just kind of used Satanism as more of a personal philosophy. I think it's possible that there is forces out there. Well, I know there's forces out there greater than man. I don't think they're really conscious, and it's possible you can tap into them for magical purposes or help, you know, direct that towards your will. But you know, I really don't know. I just consider myself, you know, a stupid monkey, and we're just in the infancy in our evolution and understanding of the universe. So,
okay, that actually leads me to a very important question, man. So brace yourself, because this is pretty important. Okay, given that belief system, how do you rationalize or reconcile the left-hand path's dedication to self-deification if we're on this planet in a universe where, you know, there's no conscious design or gods or things like that? Like, how would you propose to elevate yourself to some godlike status just, I don't know, just on your own or without anyone to model or, you know, without any external outside help?
I'm not sure, actually. That's kind of a big question. I don't know. Honestly, I can't answer that. I really don't know.
Well, that's what we do here at the U.S. You ask a big question.
I don't know. I think, you know, it's about personal growth and transformation, understanding yourself and emotionally and stuff.
I think it's perfectly valid.
I really don't know.
To see, like, self-deification as not in a literal sense, but, you know, transforming and elevating yourself to a standard that's above the common human element. I think that's, you know, perfectly valid. For me and other theistic Satanists and cultists and left-hand pathers, you know, I do at some point, probably after my flesh passes from this world, see myself becoming close or attaining some sort of godlike being.
See, I kind of think about it. Basically, when you die, what people consider your soul or your essence just leaves your body and it goes back into the one, into the whole, and is redistributed just in life general or just in the general life energy. But I don't think we exist on a conscious level after we die. That's my opinion.
Don't you think that some people can break away from joining that one whole?
I definitely would agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, like as far as breaking away from the whole, I mean, as when one wakes up and it becomes a little bit more self-aware of what they are, and they actually hone their skills or actually do practices, whatever paradigm they're working with, doesn't matter. When they practice and they actually build their awareness and their consciousness, in a way, they're breaking away from that already.
Right. I would totally agree with that. I think that's pretty much how things go. That people, while they're alive, have a chance to diverge from, you know, the masses who, you know, live their lives pretty much asleep, and then when they die, they do get sort of recycled into, you know, the Godhead or some sort of giant hole or universal trash bucket. I don't know. But I think it is the potential for some people to escape and maybe enter Universe B or, you know, become gods themselves or at least exist on a plane that's higher than this one.
Hey, I actually remembered something I was going to say before. As far as the Cult of Cthulhu goes, how do you guys see a difference between that? I mean, it's all left-hand path, so there are a lot of similarities, but how do you see a difference between the Cult of Cthulhu and Satanism? Like, for me, I personally like working with a satanic paradigm, although I could work with any, you know, like Lovecraftian, even Tolkien if I really wanted to, because I'm a huge Tolkien fan. But the reason why I choose Satanism is because it's, you know, the name, the word Satan is ingrained in everybody's mind. You know, it's pretty much worldly recognized. So how do you see the difference between Lovecraftian and satanic?
Okay. Yeah, that's a great question. They are very, very similar. I mean, there's a few things that differentiate Satanism from the Cthulhu cult. One, I guess the Cthulhu cult takes a little bit more of a science fiction kind of bent.
Mm-hmm.
It tries to encompass more of a cosmic scale and, you know, the stars and what lies beyond the stars, different universal principles, other dimensions and planes of reality. It takes a more scientific approach, even though I don't think modern science has all the answers. I think pure Satanism is one thing, and that is directly in line with what we're doing at the cult. But the way that most Satanists take Satanism, that's where it breaks away. Because most Satanists today, you know, they're kind of arrogant and very ego-driven, and, you know, a lot of them in the Church of Satan, as Jack said,
very much
of assholes.
I see. So you're saying it's more like the Cult of Cthulhu is more focused on what is beyond us, and that the satanic is going more towards this realm, you know? Kind of like splitting off in different directions, like focusing more on the here and now than, you know, what is and what could be.
If you boil down the essence of Satanism to, like, you know, honoring this dark energy that separates us from nature and the universe and tries to further our evolution and just make us superior, then I think it's exactly like the Cthulhu cult. But when you bring all these other things in, like, you know, and there's so many different variations of Satanism, you know, everything from devil worship to,
gotcha,
you know, treating Satanism as more of a symbolic. And I think you can do the same thing with the cult of Cthulhu. I mean, our religion is for atheists, agnostics, and theists. You know, it's really, you know, it's a big tent, and we're very inclusive. Whereas we don't, you know, hang up inverted crosses, you know, maybe we, you know, draw tentacles or something. So there are a lot of similarities. Some of the aesthetics and the outside surface stuff and the trappings vary, but I think the essence.
So
of
in a way, it's just kind of breaking away from this realm altogether and just working with the new paradigm and getting people more interested rather than focusing on the here and now and all that stuff, the materialistic aspects.
Right, exactly. That's something else that I think we're a bit less materialistic than normal Satanism. With the Satanism that's approaching a sort of Ayn Rand kind of,
yeah,
like ultimate greed, like, you know, it's your duty to kind of be a selfish asshole and do whatever you want and fuck those who are lesser than you. You know, we're not so much like that, but in a Nietzschean way, you know, the philosophy of Friedrich Nietzsche, you know, there's the will to power and,
yeah,
you know, you've always got to be testing yourself and challenging yourself and putting yourself in the fire and rising to new heights. And no one can force you into it. You've got to be self-driven and want to make those changes and become something new, a transformation. In that way,
yeah,
I think we're identical to most Satanists and their practices.
Cool.
Very cool. Well, we've actually only got a couple minutes left in this show, and it's a real shame because this has been a great show.
Yeah.
One of the things that I wanted to point out in the derivatives between the cult of Cthulhu and Satanism is actually something that started with LaVey, and that is he chose Satan for not only the archetypical aspects of it, but also for the shock value of it.
Yeah.
But nowadays, the devil is so commercialized and so cartoonized, and it's been softened up. You know, you see people who are Christians walking around with shirts that say "Little Devil" on them. In the cult of Cthulhu, we're still hanging on to that darker, more sinister, appeal.
Right. It hasn't caught on to the zeitgeist, because once, you know, because I take this approach with a lot of things. Like a lot of my enemies that if you've ever seen any of my videos on YouTube, one of the greatest weapons I use is laughter.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? The element of humor. So it's like if the cult of Cthulhu caught on, you know, the pop culture, it would be laughed at, and it would lose a lot of that shock.
Well,
right.
Actually, unfortunately, I have to say that it kind of has caught on, and it kind of is laughed at in a lot of circles. I mean, there are probably just as many Cthulhu dolls and toys and plushies and cartoons as there is Satan. So I'm kind of saddened by that fact, but that's, I mean, it's always going to be that way. I mean, whenever you take something and it gains some popularity, it's always going to be watered down and looked at through a different perspective by the masses and basically shit upon.
Well, you want another good example of that. Look at black metal.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, guys, we got 40 seconds left. I want to thank Satanic International and Dark Fool, both of you guys, for coming out and giving us an awesome show.
Well, thanks for having us on, man.
You're welcome, man. This is great. This is great. And you have a new fan. I'm going to get your books and subscribe to your channels and all that.
Cool.
Awesome.
Hey, anyone that wants a free PDF of Cthulhu Cult, all you have to do is email me. My email address is on the website, cultofcthulhu.net.
Cool. All right, cool.
Email me, and I'll send it to anyone that asks.
Awesome. Cheers, guys.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Right. Cheers.
Later.